This Thanksgiving, we turn to Christ's promises in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Here we find not only an invitation, an exhortation to pray, but also the reason why we pray at all. Because He hears us. Our prayers, when we pray, we don't pray into an empty void, but into the very ears of our loving Father Himself, who for Christ's sake hears our prayers and delights to answer them immediately with either a yes, no, or not yet. Those are the three words every single time. We might not know what the answer is, but those He answers right away, those three things. But some will ask, what about those times when our Father's answers seem delayed, or when His no and His not yet confound us? You're praying for healing and it just doesn't come. What about that? Well, here, my friends, is where the heart of thanksgiving truly beats. For in every response of God, there lies a deeper wisdom, a higher purpose beyond our understanding. For His thoughts are not our thoughts, it says, and His ways are not our ways. So we don't know all the time. But this we do know, and of this we are fully convinced, that He is working everything for our good, for the good of His saints. It's Romans chapter 8. Any doubt of this good working of our Lord should be quickly quenched by the image of Christ crucified. This God brought forth at exactly the right time, patiently working to turn the greatest evil, the very death of His own Son, into our highest good. So He will do for all our ailments of body and soul. So then, my friends, ask, and it will be given to you. On the cross, Jesus asked. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, at the very moment of His atoning death, at the first sight of His shed blood, the Father gave His answer. Yes, I do forgive them. So ask, and it will be given. Next in our text for today, Jesus says, seek and you will find. This seeking is an active pursuit into the very depths of God's heart and will. Seeking is not a passive endeavor, but a thorough investigation into the very mind of the Spirit of God. And where do we look for such a thing? Where do we find God's mind, His Spirit, His will? In nature? Talking and praying with the squirrels, as I say? In the family? No. In maybe what delights us, as I was when I was a kid. I find God in my artwork. Ugh, gross. Now we search the Scriptures. In the Scriptures we find more than just the answers to our prayers. We find Christ Himself here. For you. So seek and you will find. And in finding you shall have great cause for thanksgiving. Finally, Jesus says, to him who knocks, it will be opened. Here Christ tells us that our knocking, our persistent prayer and faith will always lead to an open door to our Father Himself, who will never send us away empty-handed. He may not give us everything that we're asking for, but He will always give us something good. Jesus says it this way. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? I mean, the kids might ask for candy. I might not give it to them, but I'll give them some bread. And that's good, right? So, my brethren, ask, seek, and knock at the door. Our Father hears, He answers, and will always give you good things. For this do we bless the Lord. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. With thankful hearts to God, Christ in this text, He turns our attention to each other. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. It's called the golden rule in some places. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the pattern. It's the culmination. It's the goal of our very new life in Christ. With thankful hearts toward God, we are filled with His empathy and His selfless love, which overflows and pours forth unto our neighbors. You see, with the gift of a thankful heart in Christ, God moves us away from a self-centered existence to a life marked by love and service to others. He shifts our focus from what we can get to what we can give. But how do we do this in practical terms? Well, it begins with very small, daily acts of kindness and consideration. It means listening with Christian empathy, speaking words of godly encouragement, and acting in biblically righteous ways that promote the well-being of others. It involves putting ourselves in the other's shoes, imagining their struggles, their fears, their hopes, and responding in a way that we would desire as Christians if we were in their position. We don't respond to them the way they want us to respond, but the way Christ does. That's very important too. God calls us in Christ to love not only those who are easy to love, but also to love those who challenge us, who differ from us, who are even violently opposed to us. In doing so, we show forth the unconditional love of Christ Himself, who dined with sinners and met with many outcasts. He prayed for His persecutors, and He died for the sake of His enemies, which we were all at one point. In loving one another as Christ has loved us, our thankful hearts in God reach their fullness. My friends, Christ changes our relationships. He builds bridges where there are walls. He fosters understanding where there is conflict. He creates harmony where there is discord. By His work within us, we become powerful agents of change in our families, in our communities, and in our world. We help turn the ordinary things of life into extraordinary things, the mundane into the sacred, and every act into an act of praise and thanksgiving. But let's not be mistaken. Living out the golden rule is not always easy. It means rejection most of the time, closed doors, higher walls, bigger obstacles to overcome, things set before us by those who oppose us and our Lord. Therefore, it requires of us sacrifice, continual sacrifice, humility, and a constant reliance upon God Himself. It demands that we set aside our selfish desires and, with much prayer and self-discipline, prioritize the needs of others above our own. Yet, in this selfless living, which it is, we find something profound. We find purpose, a fulfilling life. We find a real, tangible, experiential joy that makes being a Christian fun. I'd ask a lot of pastors today, can I say that? Is that the proper word? Is Christianity fun? Yeah, it is. It is very enjoyable. It's fulfilling. It has its crosses. We know this. But you can also say it is fun. I like helping other people. It's enjoyable, you know? I think we've kind of lost that as a society sometimes. But it's fun. When all our labor results in somebody else giving praise to God for it, right? That's enjoyable. And our hearts swell with gratitude. And so for all this, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, again, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lastly, we turn to the concluding part of our text for today in Matthew chapter 7. Here we see a very vivid imagery. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The imagery of the narrow gate is profound symbolism. It speaks of exclusivity, of a path less traveled, a journey marked not by ease, but by faith and conscious, deliberate choice. To enter through this gate is to, first and foremost, believe in Christ, and by that faith, embrace the way of life defined not by worldly standards, but by the values of the kingdom of God. It is to willingly pick up our feet and daily walk on that path, which often runs counter to the prevailing culture. It is a way which values humility, sacrifice, and true love. True love. And these above the world's power, success, and self-fulfillment. Walking the narrow path is, in essence, a journey with Christ Himself, who, by His Word, conforms us to His image and leads us through each challenge, each obstacle, and each trial we face until we reach our final destination. The path we walk, dear Christians, leads us through dark valleys at times and death's gate, and that is no small thing. But our journey does not end at the grave. It continues on unto life everlasting. The broad way, with its allure of ease and immediate gratification, may seem appealing in the moment. But its end is emptiness and destruction. That happens both temporally and eternally. The narrow way on the other side, while seemingly more difficult at first, leads to something infinitely greater, to an open door which no one can shut, to all the saints in festal gathering, into the very arms of our Heavenly Father, to whom belongs, with His Son and the Holy Spirit, all our prayers, all our praise, and all our thanksgiving. So let us do just that one more time. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.